We are certainly glad to be here. Brother Keith made mention that he was looking forward to coming to service tonight. That's great. We have a lot of problems, a lot of sicknesses, a lot of afflictions. Our country's at war. Prophecies being fulfilled. We see them moving, things moving so fast that he made mention one time about those that hear about it would want to run. If there's any place to hide, I guess we'd like to hide from it, but we can't. But I would just say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, folks. I want to talk to them little fellows right over there and all them other little kids, every one of them. Y'all bear with me. Because I'm going to ask them to do something y'all won't do, probably. Hey, little fellas, I want y'all to listen to me. Okay? Every one of you little kids. I'll say 10 years old and younger. Do you know what the foundation of the Christian and the Jewish religion is? Y'all can teach them when you get them home. But do you know what it is? It's called the Ten Commandments. And you know how they come into existence? Almighty God took his finger and he wrote them in a stone, two different stones. God wrote them.
Bless him, Lord.
And you know what the first one was? Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength. Jesus added another one to it and said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, God, the next one of the commandments is, thou shalt have no other God before me. You shall not take unto yourself any graven image. Don't bow down to it. Don't worship it. Now, a graven image, we need to explain to our children what that is, and we don't ever need to be telling our kids long about Christmas time there's somebody that's called Santa Claus, and they know whether you're being good or bad. And they're going to fly in here in some sort of silly arrangement, being pulled by deer, and they're going to fly in and all that. Don't lie to your children, and don't set them up to believe in mockeries. Are in idols. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. I guess I'll have to get up a little higher than the 12 years, 10 years, and not younger. To say, I don't care if your mother is 96 years old and is crazy as a bat, and you 62, you still honor that mother.
Amen.
You be good to her. If you don't do it, you're not worth your salt. Jesus comes by and says to the little children, honor your mother and your father, that it may be well with you. And that your days may be long upon this earth. So practical. I thought about the times I've seen little children dead because they didn't obey their parents. Simply didn't obey them. And died. Jesus promised you a good life if you'll keep his word. The sixth one of those, thou shalt not kill. I might say something to the older folks about these, but I want you younger folks to remember each one of them. I want you to remember them. Seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eight, thou shalt not steal. It was, you know, wise men always talking back over yonder, and they just put down what they said, and it went down into history. It was a wise man said one time, I don't understand that, I talk all the time and it don't go down in history, but he said, there is no degree of honesty. If you're allowed to stay out of trouble, you'll lie for something else. If you'd steal a quarter, you'd steal $1,000. If you'd steal $1,000, you'd steal a nickel if you wanted to. There's no degree. Ninth one. Thou shalt not bear false witness. What in the world does that mean? He didn't say thou shalt not lie. The Word of God said if you lie, you're going to hell. You'll have your part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I mean, you remember when it was at church Sunday night, did y'all happen to hear a little kid scream back there up under one of the benches, it sounded like? As we talked the Word of God, I heard a little kid scream back there and say, Mama, I don't want to die. Obey your parents. Do what God tells you to do. Bear false witness. Sister Dorothy, that didn't necessarily mean go out and lie. That meant somebody told you something and you carried it. You just carried it. And you just broke a commandment of God.
Amen.
And the last one is thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet that which belongs to somebody else. I don't know exactly why I thought about that, but I did think a long time ago. I talked about the Ten Commandments that evening. A little girl about this high, evening service, she come up to me and said, Brother Melvin, and she went through them step by step, right in order. She's grown teaching school now. He says it will train up a child. I always heard it raise up one, but that's not right. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it's old, it won't depart from it. Our foundation of our belief is based on those Ten Commandments. Somebody said, oh, well, it's under the law and they're all done away with. Well, Jesus came into the world to fulfill the law. Now, what is the fulfilling of the law? The Word of God said love is the fulfilling of the law. No man has greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He come into the world and he laid down his life for his friends. That you and I might have a right to eternal life. But the law that God wrote with his finger in the stone, Jesus didn't abolish that law. You know what he did? He amplified it. He made it. He changed it from a natural written law to a spiritual law. Just to give you an example, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? He made it plain. He said, as you would have others do unto you, you do that unto them. I'll just throw in a few of them. If you covet after something under the New Testament, he says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God, of heaven. Breaking the Ten Commandments. You may never steal it. You may never try to beat somebody out of it. But if you've got a desire in your heart to have that, if you can connive around and get it, you just broke a commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery, the seventh one there. I want to show you how he amplified this. He said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart already. Never committed the sin. Another scripture, he said, when a person is tempted, let him not say, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is enticed. And when he's enticed, he's drawn away after his lust. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Another one he amplified, I could go through all of them, but I'm not going to take up the time for that, was thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not kill. But if you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. Somebody said without cause. You don't have a cause to hate your brother. I'm going to drop off of that now, but I want us to get on the foundation. We started right, and we started as little children. I guess it's Jeremiah 6 and 16. I'm going to just quote that because I don't want to take up too awful much time here. But he says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Here's a scripture right here. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Does the word of God trouble us? Or do we have a delight? First Psalm, I believe it is, said, blessed is a man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, nor walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves doesn't wither, and he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Jesus compares us. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman, and you are the branches. He said, every branch in me that bring forth good fruit, I'll purge it. It'll bring forth more fruit. But every branch in me that bringeth not forth good fruit will be cut off. Men are gathered, and they'll be cast into the fire and burned. So what kind of fruit is he looking at in a child of God? The very first one comes into a child of God's heart when the Lord comes in the person of the Holy Ghost. And it's recorded in the 5th chapter of Galatians, beginning about, I think, 20th verse. The first one is love. Old brother L.J. was over yonder along the side of Sachs Road, and he didn't like black folks. But after a while, he received the Holy Ghost, and if it had been any of them black folks away, he loved them. All of a sudden, the love of God was shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. Not just him, but everyone, that the love of God was shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. It don't matter who it is, there was love down there for them. That's the fruit. That's the first one. That's what you have to start with. First thing. Boy, I'll tell you what. Sister Myrtle, I've been to places when they was claiming the Holy Ghost for people, but you don't have to claim anything when that love of God comes down. It reaches all around and makes intercession with the heart of the children of God, and the devil can jump up and down and have a fit about it. But you know, Sister Dorothy, something has happened. Thank God, you know something has happened. spirit of the Spirit. That's the first thing shows up. Now he's comparing us to a fruitful vine. A tree, he says, of righteousness. That's what he calls his children. Well, a tree, you know what it does? It don't get here with full-grown fruit on it. Something sometimes happened, and we got a little dwarf peach tree out there, and it looked like it had 10,000 little buds on it. The other morning, we got a frost, and every one of them fell off. I've seen a lot of people receive salvation, and it looked like the frost got them. You notice he said in the first Psalm, they bring forth their fruit in its season. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God comes into your life, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost when he gets there. God's love. You can't have the Spirit of God in your life if you ain't got love. Because you don't have God in there. But you know what will happen? When that love comes into your life, you'll have joy. That's the second one. You begin to grow a little bit, but it all comes pretty close together, don't it? I saw some people rejoicing with joy unspeakable, full of glory. If I got some of my hands, I want you to stand up and get on a loudspeaker and just tell people why you were rejoicing. They couldn't explain it at all. It's without explanation. Full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory.
Thank you.
First one, love. That love is there. That joy is going to be there. That love gets cold, your joy is going to dwindle. Now here comes the next one, brother. Kids, it's got to grow just like that little peach tree out there in the yard. It comes up, and it blossoms out in its season. Love. Joy. And the next one, if you got the love and the joy, it'll be peace.
Amen.
No way around it. Beloved, no argument to it. Fruits of peace is sown in peace to them and make peace. If you got love, joy, and peace, guess what you're going to have next? The next one of the fruit of the Spirit. Right in this season, what'd you say, Brother Jim?
Long suffering.
You're going to suffer long. Well, I'll tell you what. Some of you young folks don't know what it is to be a grandma and a grandpa. And you don't know what it is to be a great-grandma and a great-grandpa. And you think, Lord, I just can't understand why our sister Dorothy can have so much patience. I'm going to tell you, you have the fruit to get you there. And if you've got enough love, you'll put up with a size North County little grandson you never saw. I know I got a two-year-old grandson. Now, if it had been my boys, I'd have beat him up there once in a while. But I threatened my daughter and her husband for fooling with them. Love, joy, peace. You got those three, you'll have long suffering. Why? Because you love them so much. What did you say the next one was gentleness? That's what I thought that was. After you've had long suffering, you won't have a fit, you'll still be gentle and kind. What's the next one, Brother Jim? It's good to have some help here. Don't tax my brain. You'll just still be good. Uncle Ronald Worley had one of the best of old sayings. I don't guess many of y'all here remember that, but I do. He'd get us all together. And guess what his teaching was? That's it. Just be good. You know what? Young lady come up to me the other night at church, sat down, just crying, said, I want you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Well, what am I doing that's wrong and I can't receive the Holy Ghost? I said, sister, I don't have to tell you what you're doing wrong. I don't have to tell anybody in this house what they're doing wrong. I said, you know what you're doing wrong. If it's wrong and you do it, you know it. You know what right and wrong is. And you know what I told the brother Leslie? I said, don't let the devil run you around trying to tell you, look for this and look for that and look for that. Just quit doing what's wrong and go to the Lord and put your life on the altar to God and let God come into your life. And don't let the devil tell you it's wrong for you to go get you a drink of a coffee maybe if you want it. Somebody told me that was wrong. I quit drinking coffee 50 years ago and haven't drank anymore. And do you think, is there anybody in this house foolish enough to think the Word of God teaches it's a sin to drink coffee? I was, because somebody told me that. Well, it wasn't the Lord. And I was fixing to quit some other things, and the child of God come by and said, I'd like to tell you something. A good, sober child of God. Said, God don't expect you. God don't require you to quit eating and drinking your food. He requires you to repent of sin. I didn't ever have any more trouble with that, but I already quit some things. I just left them quit. Had a little ring, and I went to school, seemed like 4 years than most people ought to have to get it. Class ring. Somebody says, oh, that thing's wrong, you know. Well, I pulled it off. Here's another one over here, same thing. I pulled it off and gave it to my mother. I thought it was gone forever. My wife ended up, my mother gave it to her when I got married, and one day she brought it over there, and I just found out how little I was back in. It went about that far down on my little finger. Sin will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven and cause you to go down to eternity. The fruit of the Spirit comes into your life when you're born again. And there will be that you are to bring forth those fruit every day. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. Meekness. Meekness. We haven't mentioned meekness yet. How about meekness? Wives, are you meek with your husband? Don't nobody answer this. I don't want to start a fight or anything, but are you meek with your husband? And husbands, are you fit for your wife to look at you with honor? Boy, I tell you, every time I find myself doing something right, I like to brag about it. But I got two son-in-laws, and one of them was the biggest crook in the country, I guess. Now, he wasn't bad. He wouldn't steal. I don't guess he'd steal anything at all. He wasn't bad about doing a lot of things, but he was just, I can tell you his bad points, but I don't want to talk about him like that. But you know what I did? Some of the folks say, you ought to do this and you ought to do that to him. I said, listen, he's a grown man now, and he can change. But what I do is forever. When I do it, it's forever.
Amen.
And you know what? He come up there one day and he done talked with his Baptist preacher. And all he could find that he thought really just out of his bed wrong was over in the 16th chapter of Mark where these signs shall follow them that believe. He come in and says, you just wrong about that scripture where it's not the way you claim it is. I didn't argue with him. I just opened up the Bible to it and handed it to him. I said, read it out loud to me. He did. I said, now explain to me, what does that scripture mean? He sat there and he wallowed around. He says, well, it looks to me like it means just what it says. But I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not fit to boast in my life at all. Don't mean that at all. But he saw a holiness life. And he said, you're the first preacher I've ever seen that believes what he preaches and does what he believes. And he tried hard. But one day he sat on the back seat. Little old young child of God. I want you to know something. If you are a young child of God, the Holy Ghost is just as old in you as he is in me. I thought service was over. I thought she was leaving along with the others. But she got back there and the power of God hit her and she laid her hands on him and the power of God knocked him off the floor. Boy, you know what? You know where the old shop is down there, and I lived up on the hill at midnight. I could hear him down there crying out to God. You want the Holy Ghost, boys. You get down to business with God. I could hear him at midnight. Sound like loudspeaker coming up that valley, up to the house. A few days later, he received the Holy Ghost. Love, joy, peace. These are things that's in a child of God's life. And they are to be multiplied every day. Jesus come one time. I'm not going to go ahead with all of them. But he come along one time and he saw a fig tree. And he decided to go up to that fig tree and get some fruit off of it. And he got there. And there was no fruit on it. He passed judgment on that fig tree and says, no man eat fruit forever. And he went on his way. And a little bit later they come by and that tree had just died. That's what happens to a child of God when he don't bring forth his fruit in his season. He dies. Forevermore. It is absolutely necessary that we understand what it means to be a child of God. Jeremiah told the people to stand in the ways, see and ask for the old path. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. There is a spirit that is constantly warring against the mind of the children of God, saying, don't walk that way. And now, he said, I sat upon the wall watchman, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we won't hearken. We won't listen. Not going to have it. I believe it was up here the other day that I spoke of divisions that come among the people. I think I outlined at least 9, but anyway 8 different things that you can't find a division and a split off church that are not guilty of at least that many. And any one of them that people practice the Word of God said they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I think maybe a couple of the brethren talked to me about that and said, Brother Melvin, don't you think if things get so bad in church that we just can't worship there, it'd be better for us to go somewhere else and start another church? Absolutely not. If you're a true child of God, you're responsible. You're either a teacher or the one to be taught, and a teacher's got to be able to be taught. But God requires something of His children. And one of the requirements is you stand there and give your life if you have to defend the truth. You run, you know what you are? He refers you to as a harlot. Not a harlot, a harlot. Somebody that's working for money. Don't run. Stand on the truth. Make sure it is the truth. If it, there are things that is required out of a child of God. As a responsibility, as we go through this life, we have a responsibility as children of God. Since he said, see and ask for the old path, and I feel really compelled to talk more about the old church right here in Memphis. I'd like to talk about it a little bit. Y'all got a time set for me here? All right. Here's what I want to say. We always got a smart aleck in the bunch. Here's what I want to say. How many of you people know? See, I know I got somebody here that knows. But how many of you people know in the early church, how many of you know how the children of God behaved in the service? How many of you remember? Another one too could hold up her hand. All right. Let's just start in the altar service. I'm going to ask her. She don't have to answer. I can answer it. And she, her too. They'll know if I'm telling you the truth. When the people went up to the altar to pray, it's here in Memphis now, early church here. When they went up to the altar to pray, and you had two or three of the women over there with their head together talking, you know what? Somebody else over there knows. They wanted to take you outside and insulted you for that. Then they called you down right there and asked you what in the world is wrong with you. There's people lost going to hell and you back there praying. That got their attention. And I'm going to tell you something, boys. The men weren't sitting around up there talking either. And they weren't hanging around up there doing something else, trying to take a nap. Like most of the time now, I'm trying not to, but what I'm telling you, we claim we believe in old time holiness. Let's find out exactly what it was and get back to it. I'm going to roll over further with that because this, some of you folks are going to think it's brand new ground I'm breaking here. It's not. We're not going to grow up with briars and thickets. People in this altar up here, and they just seem like they're just dragging on and on. It ought to be more of him. He dragged on to 2 o'clock in the morning. Do it again if you had to, wouldn't you? But the children of God weren't getting bored and all. You know what they was doing if they couldn't pray anymore, Sister Dorothy? Sister Dorothy, you know what they're doing. They'd be up there singing. And you know what that singing would do? That would get the people's mind together. You know what? You don't believe these people got the shot and you hear the bell? They got their mind together. You know how they got their mind together? They got their mind up and down together. That's just the way it was done back then in those days. But that's not all of it. Little young children of God come out. By the way, guess what they were doing? A lot of them picking cotton for a living. Come out to a revival, you know what? They'd start fasting and praying for that revival. fasting. Some of them would get so deep in that they'd say, I won't eat again. I won't eat another meal until God gives some people the Holy Ghost here. Some of them did that and never did miss but one meal. But what I'm telling you, beloved, this is a serious matter, and we have got to follow up fully on it. I just told the children of God to stand up at home the other night. All of them had the Holy Ghost to stand up, looked like 150 stood up. What do you think would be happening down there in a service time if that 150 Brother Roger was doing what we did when we started off before God? God let us have some healing down there the other day. It was wonderful. Doctors giving up on the fellow being able to help him. God healed him. But old Lane Addy Borden died last night. It's time for her to die. She was old. Lived up her life. But she was a good old woman. She was distantly related, real distant. I didn't even know it. Biggest part of her life. But she's the last living person in the world that I knew that knew our great, great granddaddy, Duck Powell. But she died. But there's Joe laying up there. It's going to take a miracle from God if he lives. Tab Willoughby on life support. But they said his brain dead, and I was up there to see him the other day. Prayed with him, for him. Told his son his brain's not dead. Last night I had come by and I woke up. The nurse told me, says, he's sleeping. I walked up to the side of the bed and said, hello, Tab. He opened his eye. I said, you know who this is? Of course, he couldn't make a sound, but with his mouth, I could read his lips. He knew who it was. Listen, if we, you and me, young, old, get where we need to be with the Lord, God's going to start doing things that He promised He'd do over here in the last days. This church right here, this house, is an act of God. And I want you to understand that. I know I'm just talking here. But this is an act of God. We got, I don't know, Brother Bobby might tell us close to how many members we've got down at home. Most all of them got good jobs. If we mentioned building a church cost $250,000, they'd nearly have a stroke. But you see what God has put here. And if you got any doubt that God put it here, you tell me how you would have come about doing it. God's got a purpose for this building, this church, and the people that's here. God has got a purpose for it. You might say, well, why in the world is the devil bothering us like he is? The devil's got a purpose to destroy it if he can, but he can't do it. Because God's got a purpose. Look forward to doing your share and let God take care of His part of it. Jesus met together with the disciples one time in what they call the Last Supper. And it was to be remembered in His church as an ordinance forever. So tonight, there's some here that has been able to participate in that. And I thought it was really good that we could meet out. Now, I'm going to give you a definition of what the church is. Church is called the body of Christ. Now, when Jesus was in this life, when he was in this world, he walked upon the face of this earth. And there was a virtue in his body. And that virtue healed all manner of sicknesses. You remember the story of the little old woman had an issue of blood, just touched the hem of his garment. And that virtue went out of his body and healed her. But Jesus went back into the world, into heaven, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. But listen to what he told his people. He said, "These works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these, for I ascend back to the Father." One of the kids to Tyler, being the oldest holiness preacher living, called me a while before he died and said, "Brother Melvin, I've been telling people this is the great, what the greater works and what Jesus could do was, and just as wrong as he could be." But he said, "I want you to tell me what he did." I says, "All right." Jesus never went over 100 miles from his place of birth. Not a very long distance, was it? What would be greater? I said, "I've been 6,000 miles just to one short revival. Travel. Man, you can figure it up. How many miles in one revival than he went all of his life in his ministry? Greater distance. Greater means bigger and more." Jesus preached let it slip my mind exactly how many sermons he preached in all his 33 years of preaching. His ministers went forth into all the world. Millions of sermons. Greater, more. Jesus healed so many people, just a few. His people went forth, and millions of people have been healed. The virtue that went out from Jesus but went into his spiritual body, which is his church. And one of the apostles, one of his ministers that I read about, called Peter, he just walked along down the street, and folks that was afflicted, they would lay him out on the side of the street because that same virtue went out and healed him. Now, beloved, you and I have the responsibility of doing the works. Just want you to remember as I read, and that's Colossians 1 and 18 and also verse 24 of Colossians 1. To his church is his body here in this world. I'm going to read this word of God and try to go on now with it. I guess maybe, well, I tell you, it's been a long time since several weeks anyway. Jesus, the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. As long as I follow Christ, it'll be all right for you to follow me. If I quit, Brother Roger, don't follow me. Ever again. From where I am. "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." So he delivered some ordinances to us, and he's praising the Corinthian church because they're doing it. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. We don't ever want to get to the place that we think we can be the head of his church. Because we'll never make it. He is the head of all things under his body, which is the church. And he's the head of the church, which is his body. And he is the head of every man. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. I want you to get this order of things kind of settled in your mind. There is God the Father. There is Jesus Christ the Son. There is the Holy Ghost, his working agent in this world. There is man who is the head over the household. This is God's order of things. And there is the wife, is a helpmate for her husband. And then the children. After that, if you got cats and dogs, you just got to be ruling something, rule them. I hear people talk about folks talking to them like it was a dog and beating their kids like it was a dog. I can't even see that, because there's no way in the world I'm going to talk bad to my dogs, and there's no way in the world I'm going to beat them or anything like that. Children of God are a different kind of people. They're people with the Spirit of God living within them. Well, in just a little bit, I guess maybe what I should say, since I got in that about the woman, man being over the woman and what have you, every man, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. I want you to remember that, because when you pray, you can't pray over your head. Have you ever thought about that? You can holler, oh God, all you want to, but unless you realize that Jesus Christ is the mediator between you and God, Jesus is the high priest that carries the prayer to God for you. And the head of the woman is the man. Now I want to explain something here, because I got into this, so I got to explain it, otherwise no telling what it'll come up with. But he says, for a woman, it's a shame for her to pray unto God with her head uncovered. Now, I'm going to show you a mystery here, and you can ravel it out, or if you don't go deep enough in it, I can't do anything about that. But what he is saying, Sister Myrtle, I pick on you. You already know these things, probably, but saying, if she loves her husband so much, when she prays to him, that's a shame. She has got to cover him, her head, and pray to his head, Jesus Christ. Jesus, in turn, is the mediator between man and God. I hope I made that plain enough. Did I make that plain enough? You brother, and explain it when folks don't know about it. And God put a token there. And that token was, he put a token that this woman, as a symbol of her obedience to God's order of things, would be her hair. Whew. Sister Dorothy, it's been 100 years, seemed like, since I have gotten into this. But that is when you walk out in the public, that is a token. That is showing anybody that wants to see, my head is covered. I don't pray to LJ. I don't pray to Keith. I don't pray to Johnny. I pray to his head, which is Christ. Now that is why that he said for a woman to have long hair, it's a symbol of her covering her head. Now, for a man to have long hair, it's a disgrace. It's a shame, he calls it. You know why? Because he is actually covering his head, Christ. And I can almost hear some of them preachers. You ever notice some of them preachers, Brother Roger, when they claim to be a preacher, their voice changes? You ever notice that? They say Jesus Christ, and they say it all together different from the way they always said it. They say God, they say it all together different. They get up and they go into some sort of real poetic kind of voice. Brother, that short hair is because you are made in the likeness and image of God. You reflect God. You do not cover your head, Jesus Christ. And if you did, it'd be a shame. And by the way, your prayer won't get home. I hope I made that plain. To me, it's as plain as it can be, but I know sometimes. All right, for if the woman be not, wait a minute. But every woman that, now, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Having his head covered. Jesus, our high priest. Jesus, our mediator between man and God. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, he'll send you a comforter. Our prayer goes through a mediator. Jesus was a high priest. In the old law, the only way they got an answer back over there was their high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Jesus is in the Holy of Holies. There's a woman that prayeth or prophesieth, and I won't tell you what it means to prophesy, because I hear too much foolishness in the name of prophecies. But to prophesy is to speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That is to prophesy. To speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He said, this, he said it comes to pass afterwards, saith to God, your young men will dream dreams. No, your young men will prophesy. But one place he said, they'll see visions. They'll see visions. I got to looking at that one day, and I thought about all the visions I saw when I was a young fella. And it wasn't like people want to claim. It was like I was looking out there ahead of me and visualizing what I was going to do with my life. Guess what? I was envisioning these things. And one day, Brother LJ, you did it too. Somewhere you crossed a point up there. And guess what? You started looking back about and dreaming about what you had done. Your dream's already gone. We're not now sitting around having visions of what we're going to do. We won't sit around and think about something pleasant. We think about all the good times we had. See, every time that people have a vision, it's not from God. It's in their own head. Now, for a woman to be covered, let her also, wait a minute, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, remember what the token now of your obedience to this is, dishonoreth her head. That is, she dishonors Christ. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. You ever see a woman with her head shaved? Man, I run up on a wreck been a good little while back, and about five nuns was in a car, and they run into the back of a tractor trailer, and that thing got the jackknife, and then it cut the top right off that car. And it knocked their habits off. And I was right behind it, and I run up earth like you'll do in an accident like that, I guess. The head was shaved. I was always looking sight. I always used to always sleep next to the window so I could lay there and look out at the dark. But I want you to know there's a few nights that I swapped sides of the bed with my wife, because every time I'd look out the dark, I'd see these bald-headed women. Hey, it might be funny now, but they had their heads all beat up and split up and all. You wouldn't want to meet God in a mess like that. If a woman goes and cuts her hair off, well, she might as well be shaved. But if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. You know what that means? Probably. I've seen people, back when I was a kid, boy, boys get their heads shorn. All they done just cropped off about all the hair they could get off and turn them loose, because a few days later they're going to have to do it again. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. I'm going to try to read on in a hurry. This is going to take a little if I don't. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Now think about this just a minute with me. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And believe you me, a woman can make it better in this life. If she'd been married 40 years and her husband dies, rest assured she can make it better than a man that's been married 40 years and his wife dies. God made that woman for a helpmate for the man. And man's just not equipped to get by without a wife. Don't look like. I'm just throwing that in because that's the way it is. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And you know what? That's interesting, because I have a book somewhere in my library back yonder, probably done hid away. And the title of it was Bobbed Hair, Bossy Wives, and Women Preachers. That's the title of it. And you know what it did? It left them all in a mess. Because of the angels. Why now does the angels have to get involved in this? Whether we understand it or not, we have got an angel that's watching over us. And people accuse me of overworking mine day and night. But I could just stand up here and tell you times that I have seen where the angel of God took care of little children. My little old girl was just about like some of these little bitty fellas, walked all over the top of a live copperhead, big one. I mean, walked all over her little old footprints, all around that thing. That thing was cored up, ready to strike. When I saw it, I knew right quick. You see, I know what it means, don't you, for God put his power on the serpent. I know why he said, they shall take up serpents. Did you know if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can handle a serpent? You might say, not me. I said, you can. But that thing laying there, and I just went, there was a little hole about that long. It was in the flower bed. And a little hole about that long. He'd been working in the flower. And I just went up there and knelt down beside of it, and it just scared her to death nearly. And I says, come here, I want to show you something. All the time I was working out there, I was praying. But I said, the angel of God, the Spirit of God, protected you from this thing because he watches over you. And I said, I want to show you something. I would turn that snake. He was in a striking position with his head out. You brother know what I'm talking about. I'd turn that snake's head around sideways, and it'd pop right back, just like a coil spring. I said, I just want you to see. He couldn't strike. The angel, power, the Holy Ghost, wouldn't let it strike. But I said, so you'll know how dangerous these things are. If that thing had hit that little girl, it would have probably killed her in a few minutes. But I said, so you'll know to fear these things. I want to show you something. Yeah. And I took that copperhead and I straightened it out. Literally straightened him out. And guess what he did then? Well, he started jumping through the air, striking at me. You've got an angel that's watching over you when you sleep. You got an angel. Sometimes many of you ladies and your men have been going down the road, going along there, and somewhere you might have thought he's your own daddy, but Job said there is a spirit within man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Some way you just let off on your speed. Backed off on it. Maybe the front tire blew out. Maybe you went around the curve right on a wreck if you'd have been driving. Every one of you just about it can remember how God took care of you. Did you know you can grieve that angel? He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God wherewith you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Be careful what you say. I talk to guys up there at the restaurant a lot about the Lord and about His way and the Word of God, and every once in a while we have some pretty heated arguments. But I told one a while back, I said, listen, I am not so foolish, but what I know, that what I say to you and I walk out that door, it may be the last words that I speak in this world. Called one a fool the other day. Somebody said, you weren't supposed to do that. I said, well, the Bible calls him a fool, so he must be a fool. Brother Johnny got firsthand knowledge that he's still a fool. The Word of God said the fool, it said in his heart there's no God. But guess what? I didn't have to have a fit with it. If you call a fellow a fool without having a fit, it's hard, I reckon, if he is a fool. Judging yourselves as it commonly let a woman pray unto God uncovered. Doeth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the churches of God. Somebody said, what does that mean? That means if fellow's contentious about it, it'll be all right. No, it means if you're contentious, you're just not keeping the customs of the church of God, God's church. It's very simple. It's anytime we start trying to justify wrong, we get in trouble. Now, on this, I decline unto you, I praise you not, but that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. I remember a time, Sister Myrtle, when these fellas would come in, you know, and they done checked around all over the place to find out every kind of division or argument, or some of them looking on the housetop to see if there was a television antenna so they'd have something to preach about. And one old guy come in and he got around. They found out who the community gossip is, and he got all the gossip. And then he's going to get up there and act like God's leading. God showed me I had division among you. God showed me this and that. One old fellow said, brother, why don't you just do like Paul said? I hear there's division among you. And I partly believe it. Well, what's wrong with telling the truth? Paul said, I hear there's division among you. you believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. Now, what is a heresy? It's a different doctrine. Different doctrines gets among the children of God, Brother Keith. It sows discord. Whole lot of other things. I covered a lot of them last week, and he didn't get it recorded. I'm glad, because he said it must be heresies among you. Why? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, I want to tell you what's going to happen. This is how it's made manifest. It's when false doctrines get among the children of God. God has got someone that is able to counteract those false doctrines, stand against them, and bring them to a halt. That's the ones that's approved of God. And without a false doctrine comes along, you don't know whether he's been manifest or not. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not, for I have received. Now, what I'm reading here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it may seem to you all, if you're not familiar with this scripture, that I am, I'm talking in particular about maybe what you're doing here. This is not it at all. I'm simply reading the scripture that should be read at every communion service. It should always be read at a communion service. We don't ever get to the place that it shouldn't be brought to our mind and our remembrance. For I have received of the Lord which I delivered, that which I also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I want to read that again, just in the event. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Signifying his church in these days. His body. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. That word unworthily is heavy here, weighs a lot. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but if let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why, beloved? Is because for this call we're not reaching the prayer of faith. People are dying that could be healed. People are struggling along and just can't hardly hold on to the Lord, can't hardly have faith, can't hardly live a faith because of these things. For if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Boy, y'all been tearing me now here nearly 30 minutes. And if any man hungry, let him eat at home, that ye come not together under condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. That pretty much sums up the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the wine. Brother Johnny, how about coming around and helping me here? We're going to just get it ready, and we're going to ask blessings on this. You all are very fortunate to have someone that knows exactly how to prepare this supper. This is unleavened bread, the same kind that Jesus broke. Y'all want to sing a song while we do this? Each and every one of you to go with us to the Lord and offer a praise and thanks for this occasion and for this supper. Let's all pray. Holy Father, righteous and gracious, and we look back to the ages, Lord, at the time you gathered there with your spiritual man, Lord, and you have prepared the and stand right under the throne of the Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, and the righteous is all makes the Lord so thankful today. It gives us a closer walk with you, a closer feeling of closeness, Lord, to be with you and to be able to partake of the supper together with your children. Bless this now, Lord, and sanctify it, but bless it with your own body, Lord, with your own flesh. Lord, we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Brother Keith. You pass that around. Brother Johnny. Y'all seen something? Got some?
A crown of gold was placed upon the Savior's head. Then down the streets in agony he was led. Between two thieves the Savior died as the blood dripped from his side. And there was one
after the same manner he took the cup. And that blood they were just singing about was shed to sanctify men and women holy. I want to add this as we get ready to finish this. This will be strengthening to you. Those of you that hadn't taken the Lord's Supper yet, that don't seem like much of a meal. But he said, this is my body. It was broken for you. You remember what he did for you. This will be strengthening to you. Just as freely as his blood flowed down that precious side. You know the soldier that shoved that spear into his side is going to see him again. He's going to raise up from the grave and he's going to look toward that eastern sky and he's going to see him coming back and he's going to think, Lord, I wish I could die again. Let the rocks fall on me. I don't want to see him. Let's give thanks again.
Father God,
Holy Father, righteous and gracious and holy. Oh Lord, thank you for this blood that sanctifies holy. I thank you for this blood that was freely shed for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have applied that to everyone that has become your children in this world. Sanctify this meeting, Lord. Let us be strength to the body and the soul and the mind of each and every one that participates in the name of Jesus.
Remember how he blessed the cup of wine, that which is a precious fruitage of the vine. Oh, this is my blood, he said, and for many
it was shed. I remember the Calvary.
I remember how he made.
Got the basins and the towels. Okay. Thank God. Oh Honorable Brother Trent Bright was at service one time down home. And he looked around and it wasn't enough wine in the glasses to go around. And he spoke of that quite often after that. He took a bottle and he went around and he kept filling the glasses up. And he spoke of that. He said that was the first time he was ever in a communion where he had to do that. He was a real, real old holiness preacher. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This is a everlasting love. Supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands and that he was gone, come from God and went to God, he raised from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. He took off the outer garment that he was wearing and he laid it aside. That's good. Thank you. He just laid it aside. And he took a towel. Let's see, one of those towels. And he girded himself with it. He took it. He wrapped it around himself, something similar to this right here. Is that mine? Well, it'll reach around me. And he girded himself with it. After that, he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Boy, you think what a humiliating experience that would be, Jesus, to come and kneel down before you and wash your feet. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Would you like to have a part with the children of God? You see, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Well, Peter wanted to part with him. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. When Jesus come into your life and washed you with his blood, you were clean, and you are clean from all sin. But not all. You're clean every whit, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. You see, we have known of people who betrayed us. We know they betrayed us. And we We can't say they're clean. They're not. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? I guess you would have known that, wouldn't you? They did. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There is a joy from this day forth, I hope, that once a month, somehow, we'll be able to go through this service, and hopefully it won't take as long next time. But I have enjoyed every moment of it, because this is God's work, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Where are the basins? Brother, y'all got them someplace? Right over there. All right. Where's the water? Water's already in. All righty. I'll let you just go ahead. What do you say? Is that what we're going to use? Okay, let's put one side over here for the sisters. Right anywhere, right here. All you sisters need to come up to the front as close as you can. Give me a... Well, it wouldn't hurt. Somebody help you there. Oh, well, let's put it up there. You'll want to put this on the floor under the water. Here's another one. They need a towel. No, he got the towel. Okay, as long as we got enough. Do y'all want to? Well, they got something for each pan. Mm-hmm. Well, he done gave them a towel, I believe. They got enough. Oh, one more, give them another one. We use two pans.
We fill them just in case.
Yeah.
Better safe than sorry.
You look good.
All right. Give me that towel right under there.
God give you a blessing.